Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
17 years before the Me Too movement, a young woman at the start of her political career made legal history by accusing her boss, the mayor of a small town in northwest Spain, of sexual harassment. Overnight, the case of Nevenka Fernandez became national news. Yet, despite her powerful testimony and historic victory in the courts, many local people sided with her abuser, making life for her impossible. Since then, she has resettled and built her life, career and family here in Ireland. And this weekend, a major film recounting her story will play in the Irish Film Institute. I'm joined in studio by Nevenka Fernandez and by the film's director, Ithiar Boyain. Welcome and good morning to both of you. Thank you very much for joining us. Nevenka, excuse me, can I take you back to the start of your career? You didn't have any particular interest in politics, but you were recruited, ironically, because the party that you ended up working for wanted to show to the public and to the world that it was a welcome place for women and for younger people.
Yes, I just have finished my master's degree, finished college, and I have started to work in Madrid. And it was very surprising. I was not linked to any political party or ever thought before it happened, this offer that I would join a political party. But it made sense in many ways, you know, as a person from that area of that village in the north side of Spain. My family was still living there, and I have 8 or 9 years in Madrid. So the idea of coming back in a position that I thought it was exciting, you know, and because I thought politics was about working for your town
working,
and your people.
Working for the town and for the people. And when you first met your abuser, Ismael Alvarez, what was your impression of him? Was it favourable?
I said before, I never had a bad impression. He was a man in his mid-50s, I believe, and I met someone from the village who was, you know, who told me that they were looking for a profile of a woman that with a, you know, a career that could join them to work together for the city. And I did not have a bad impression. I briefly met him for about an hour. I never had an impression that it was going to become what it became. No.
Well, how soon did the manipulation start and what did it look like?
I think it started as soon as the first
day,
yes, because originally the offer that they told me was to participate as part of the group. Soon after that, he decided that he was going to give me a different responsibility. I will have to be exclusively working for him and with him and more intensely than the original.
And you don't think that there was any need for that relationship, that professional relationship, to be set up that way, that he was constructing time for the two of you to be alone?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that was one, and my, you know, the place where I was given, it was the nearest to him. You know, the area where I supposed to be working. And also soon enough, he started talking about a lot of personal stuff. So his wife was very sick at the time. I didn't know nothing about him.
So he was appealing to you for your sympathy.
And he was, yes. Yes.
Ithiar, can I bring you in here? The film is very much Nevenka's story, I gather. Mm-hmm. But when you were thinking about how to introduce and portray Alvarez on screen, what were your concerns? What were your thoughts?
Well, we wanted to portray him as Nevenka suggested, as a man who doesn't come as a body, you know. I mean, that's the power of these people too, because they come along as very charming, very helping you in as many ways as possible. And also, that was very close to the truth in Ponferrada, where he was the mayor, because he was very respected. And we, in the first scenes of the film, we tried to introduce him as a very popular, also populist, but very popular mayor, and he was very close to the neighbors. He knew the story of the son of this, the mother of that. he also worked in a way which was like a net of favors. So it's like I help you and you help me, and that was his style, which worked very well. Even today, he's still a very kind of for many people is still respected and is still seen as a great mayor for the town. What we wanted to portray was not only his relationship with her, which was at the heart of the story, but also who he was. And who he was much more complex than just what we imagine an abuser is. Mm. He's a man with charm, he's a man with power, he's a man who presented himself as a friend of everybody. And that was part of the way he probably get into his relationship with Nevenka.
And Nevenka,
we understood.
That's almost, as I understand it, what seems to have been worse here. I don't really particularly want to dwell on the details of his actual sexual abuse and his assaults on you, but you say that the psychological element of this, that it was being done by a man who was so charming and charismatic and respected, by everybody in the community, was almost more painful than the assaults.
Well, I always said that the physical aspect of the abuse, when that came to happen, I was nobody already. I did not have any power. My identity has been completely destroyed.
Because he had reduced.
He had reduced. He has made me feel like nothing, a nobody. And I was completely psychologically almost gone.
How did he do that? Were you completely isolated from friends, family, any support mechanisms?
Bullying, psychological harassment is full of small situations that are gaslighting, where it's very difficult. Sometimes you are confused. So he will make jokes, for instance, constantly here and there about my physical appearance or sexualized jokes. And if I take those jokes back, he will get angry and say, "You don't understand, it's just a joke." And so everybody else will. So I wonder, you know, I was 25 and I was wondering, maybe I need to understand this in a different way. And if I didn't take it in that way and I smiled, and he will take that as an, you know, as a sign that I actually like it, those type of jokes, and then step into something more serious, you know. And he constantly wanted to control me. And if I fight back, then I was seen as no amicable. He couldn't trust me. Why you are making this big thing about, you know, there were always a good excuse to talk about something urgent. And that always ended, or more and more often ended, in situations that I couldn't handle, because it was, you know, he knew when to stop, and then he'll maybe sometimes apologize about yesterday, or he sent messages to my mobile phone, and then I'll say, "Why you send this message?" And he'll say, which message are you talking about?" So making me think, oh, maybe, you know, I'm giving importance.
Maybe I'm wrong.
So this was months, and by the time I realized, I was completely destroyed as a person, you know. And
Ithiar, in making this movie and portraying what it is that happened to Nevenka, are you trying consciously to provide a roadmap to the exit sign for others in Nevenka's situation?
Yes, I mean, we thought we had to decide, because Nevenka's story is long, and also it has all this court case, and also she won, so obviously it was a good ending to the story. But we had to decide what we were going to portray, or what was going to be the heart of our story, and we decided to go for what Nevenka was just telling. So difficult to spot and so difficult to communicate, so we wanted people to see the film, to recognize or to be able to recognize those signs, because abuse is something so subtle, so insidious. It just undermines the person in a very, it's like a drop a day after day. So we that was our aim.
Nevenka, as grotesque as what was happening to you was, something even worse happened then when you went public.
Yeah. I didn't expect that at all. I was very naive, I suppose, because
they all took his side.
Most, well, not all, but a big amount of people, yes, and the media, and you know, the majority of the country, and that was a shock to me. It was a big shock, you know. I didn't expect it, and but then that's what motivated me to move out of the country.
Tell me what form that rejection of your story came in. I mean, was it people that you knew?
I think we are now in need to talk about this. You know, violence and abuse and sexual abuse is a universal topic. I don't think there is that difference. I mean, we have evolved. I believe we have evolved. And thanks to movies like this, and thanks to people who is brave enough and talk, and, you know, but we are still questioning. We as a cultural, you know, individual and collective society, we don't believe women, we don't believe children or people who talk about abuse. In other aspects. And so if you are a woman, if you are young, if you come and say, this happened to me, the first reaction is going to be, still to today, you have done something, or you probably wanted money, or you wanted the fame, or you wanted, you know. And that's what happened to me. And 20 years plus ago in Spain, it was even worse, of course, because...
But even having gone through the court cases, even having proven that you should be believed, you found that people still didn't believe you.
Well, he has a big power, you know. He was a very powerful man. He wasn't only a mayor of a small city. He had been in the Senate in Spain, and he was very well related at the time with the government, national government. So this wasn't a small, you know, story in a small city. It was, but it has a lot, a much wider aspect. And then I think that we were confronted, or I was confronting them with the reality of the woman's situation in society, you know, where we coming from a very machist history, at least in Spain, and we are evolving, but there is still a lot lingering in, you know.
Well, you only have to look so very recently to the Luis Rubiales and Jenny Hermoso, the chair of the Spanish Football Federation, kissing unsolicited and an unwelcome kiss, and then standing his ground and saying that he was right and he was entitled to do so. Spain, you know, still have a long journey to go.
Yes, and that's where, you know, motivate me to. I actually write a letter to Jenny Hermoso because it was very completely different, the stories, you know, but I think I felt so compelled. I felt a lot of empathic feelings on the way the media was treating her, or some media was treating her at the time, you know, when they put her in the news to say, oh, look.
You're living here a long time now, and you've already told me that you are incredibly happy here, but did it feel like a defeat, or it certainly can't have felt like a victory, that you were the person that had to leave your country?
So it took me almost 20 years to speak out, you know, speak up about this. I went off, and I never, and it's been a very long process, personal process, in which I never thought about Nevenka. Nevenka was hiding somewhere, and it was so painful, and it affected so many people that I love as well, not only me. So we came to this country, and then we started a new life in which I was mostly Nev, and nobody knew who we were, and involving my husband here, Lucas, because we've been together since. And you know, we always kept that pain. It was very painful not to be able to. And it was in 2018 or 2019, after the Me Too movement, and, you know, listening to all those women's stories, it was very embracing to me. I realized how much they will help. It was helping me. And then I thought, maybe
my story can help others. And has it been a liberation doing this now, committing this story to film?
Oh, yes.
And a full stop?
And it closes a circle. And it opened a beautiful window.
Closes a circle, opens a beautiful window. Thank you very much. The film is called Soy Nevenka. The Irish Film Institute website for screening details. Nevenka Fernandez and Ithiar Bolain, thank you both very much for joining us this morning.